as the world commemorates the 400th anniversary of Shakespeare's death, a new book takes a close look at what it takes to bring the Bard to life.
Our next guest spent a season embedded with American Players Theater, one of the country's most highly regarded classical theater companies, and it happens to be tucked away in the hills of Spring Green, Wisconsin.
Michael Lenahan joins us now to talk about his time at American Players Theater, or APT. He's the former executive editor of the Chicago Reader. His new book is called Much Ado, A Summer with a Repertory Theater Company. Michael, welcome to Central Time.
Thanks. Nice to be here.
Well, Michael, how did you first get this idea to spend a season essentially embedded with American Players Theater?
Well, the season and embedded part, that's sort of my habit as a journalist. I've been a magazine writer most of my career, turned to books a few years ago, but always long, deep stories where I do a lot of hanging out, and embedded is a good word for it.
As you said, you're a writer, you're a reporter, but are you also a fan of APT?
I'm a fan of APT. I'm by no stretch of the imagination a theater expert or a Shakespeare scholar. Just a journalist, a professional amateur, going in knowing not too much and trying to learn as much as I can.
And the play that you focused on for the season that you were embedded was Shakespeare's Much Ado About Nothing, which is considered one of his masterpieces among masterpieces. Why did you pick that particular play?
That was a matter of convenience and luck, I think. The head of the company, David Frank, was directing the Much Ado in the year that I spent there, and it was going to be his last year as the leader of the company. And he was the guy, one of the people who was most welcoming to me. I wanted to stick with him if I could, and I got to say, knowing what I wanted to write about and how I wanted to write it, Much Ado just jumped out at me as the title of my book right from the minute I saw it on the schedule.
So it's interesting because this one has, it doesn't have twins, it doesn't have shipwrecks, it doesn't have magic. What does it have?
Well, it's a pair of love stories. One represents kind of young love, puppy love, naive love, two younger characters, Hero and Claudio. And then it has two older, wiser people who have been out around the block a little bit, Beatrice and Benedick. And they are probably the original, the madcap, not madcap comedy, but what do they call those?
I think you're talking about sort of the banter, the back and forth.
Yeah, lots of banter, lots of wisecracking and so forth. And Beatrice and Benedick were probably the models for the Hollywood movies of the 30s and 40s, whose genre name I am still not coming up with. But there is... like you said, many of the usual Shakespearean comedy tropes are not there. There's no storm. There's not much mistaken identity. But we have these two couples and lots of Sturm und Drang and lots of deception and wringing of hands. And you won't be surprised to know a couple weddings at the end.
And you mentioned David Frank, who emerges from your book's pages as a visionary and also a source of inspiration, clearly for you, but for the actors involved and the entire theater company. So did you get a sense about how his vision for the play takes shape? That's part of where this kind of magic happens between page and stage.
Yes, he is a very text and language-oriented guy, and you can find him... almost at any time with his nose buried in the text, and he reads it over and over and over again. I had the impression that he had the last tableau of the play in his mind from the very beginning, and it was a tableau that sort of spoke of mature, committed love, not too much of sex, but a very tender and committed embrace. And he wanted the play, I think, to be a little bit more about that kind of serious love than just a lot of froth and funny, which you can play Much Ado that way. But he wanted to go for something deeper, and I think he started with that image. I'm just guessing now. We never talked about this, but I think he started with that image and worked backward from it.
Michael Lenihan is with us now. He's got a new book out called Much Ado a Summer with a repertory theater company. And he's joining us now to talk about his season Embedded with American Players Theater and a production of, you guessed it, Much Ado About Nothing. And Michael, you're right about a scene. I think this is done early on in rehearsal. And it's got two of these characters you're talking about, Beatrice and Benedict, and they've been warring, they're trying to do verbal ninja on each other, and they realize at this moment in this rehearsal that they're in love. Can you tell us about that moment? There was a line that one of the actors says that really caused David Frank to stop and think, whoa, this is a different way you can play this.
Yeah, I think I know the scene you mean. David Daniel, the actor who played Benedict, did something very surprising to everyone in the rehearsal room. When there's a point in the play when he sits down and just professes his love. Now, Shakespeare doesn't say anything about sitting down. Shakespeare doesn't say anything about anything. But when I say David Daniel sits down, that's the move that he chose to do in this particular rehearsal. He was just taking a flyer. And he did it in such a way so that his back was to Beatrice's back. And he says this line, something like, what's the line? Do you have it?
I have it, as a matter of fact.
Thank you.
Because it was so striking. I do love nothing in the world so well as you. Is not that strange.
Is not that strange, right. And he says this, and in the rehearsal, he positioned himself in such a way that he would be speaking to the back of the stage with his back to the audience. The audience would not be able to see his lips move, but it was such a surprise to the director, David Frank, that he started exclaiming before they even finished the scene, and he just couldn't stop talking about how much he loved this choice. It was a way, I think they responded it, he responded it to it in that way because it was a way for Benedict to say his love without being presumptuous. And it was very humble, and he was very vulnerable at this point. And this just kind of rang true to Frank and that kind of love affair that he was trying to develop that was going to end up with this tender embrace at the end of the play.
So there's what happens with the actors. Some of that we're talking about there, but there's also everything else that goes on, and there's a lot of it. And for instance, you visited the wig room. What was that like?
I did visit the wig room. Well, the wig room is one of everybody's favorite stops because it's quiet there, and the three women who usually work there have a nice rapport with each other, and there's a lot of yakking going on there, which is not possible in the costume shop or in the scene shop. There's not a lot of yakking, but the wig room, there's plenty of time for conversation, and it's often of a jocular sort, and they're fun people, and at the same time that they're talking, of course, they're doing this very exacting task of tying wigs onto a mesh, usually one or two hairs at a time.
So they make the wigs from scratch, basically?
Yes, they do. I mean, they have a large backlog of wigs now, and they can use wigs this year that they may have made a couple years ago. But every year there are many wigs to be made, and they do it.
Now, in a sense, at American Players Theater, this is a theater, it has now a smaller indoor theater, but the main core theater that began is an outdoor theater. Happens out in the woods, in this sort of natural hollow, bat swooping overhead. Mm-hmm. You can see the night sky. You get rained on a little bit if it's misting. Did you get a sense for how that great outdoors feeling had a hand in Shakespeare? Sometimes people talk about this as almost an unnamed character actor at APT.
Yes, sometimes the weather or the night really seems to contribute to the play. I have heard people tell stories about productions of King Lear where the thunderstorm came at just the right time, and it was very magical. And, you know, I think that's the way it was in Shakespeare's time. And it is kind of like a character. It's certainly part of the APT experience. And, you know, they're very frustrated when they get rained out, and it can cost them a lot of money if they get rained out at just the wrong time. And they explored the possibility of putting some kind of roof or covering over the theater so that they'd be able to play in the rain. But, you know, they just never did it because they didn't want to separate the audience from the sky. The sky is got to be there.
Now, as we wrap up just briefly, as the season wound down for you, how would you describe the ingredients that go into the magic of putting on Shakespeare or whatever they're putting on at American Players Theater?
Well, of course, there's a lot of mystical stuff like creativity and art and stuff that's hard to grasp and hard to communicate. But there's also a lot of practical nitty-gritty, you know, building sets and rehearsing, and at APT it's particularly challenging because, you know, by the end of the season they're doing 8 shows at a time. A single actor might be in 3 different shows, so that implies a lot of interlocking parts, a lot of logistics that they have to start planning for months and months ahead of time.
Michael, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me. It's been fun.
Michael Lenihan is the former editor and executive editor of the Chicago Reader, and he's the author of the book Much Ado, A Summer with a Repertory Theater Company. He joined us to talk about his season Embedded with American Players Theater in Spring Green, Wisconsin.